For this episode of Breaking Into, let's see, the Bring It On shit franchise, the Scary Movie franchise. Have you heard of Wanda Sykes or Chris Rock? This person is involved with all of that. And we're going to talk to Allison Faust next.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live. Breaking Into.
Make way for the underweight greatest. You fashionably late, that's cool, but I'm the latest.
Yeah, that's right, you guys. We're listening to the daughter of my guest. So the talent runs in the family. Hi, welcome to Breaking Into on Black Hollywood Live. I'm your host, James Law Jr. You can follow me on all social media platforms at James Law Jr. That's right, so simple for you guys. Just Google me and I'll show up at your house. I'm just kidding. My guest today, I always try to bring you an interesting guest. And this person I've been waiting on my show for like ever. And I'm so honored that she decided to come on my show. I'm so happy. Makes me so happy. She is a writer who has done, I mean, such work. I mean, like, pioneering work with, first on the radio. She was on the radio with The House Party on 93.3 The Beat. She also did something with In Living Color, Wanda Sykes Show. Everybody Hates Chris.
Yeah, but it wasn't In Living Color. It was Keenan Ivory Wayne's Late Night Show.
Late Night Show, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot he had a Late Night Show. So he had that too. Yeah. But also, the Bring It On sequels, Scary Movies 1 and 2. I mean, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff that she's talking about. We're going to talk about this. I'm so happy to have her, Miss Allison Faust.
Thank you.
See, and the audience.
Oh, wow. They the love audience. Me. That's fantastic.
So, okay, so it was after In Living Color ended and he started doing his own project, you got involved with that.
Yeah. Okay. Keenan discovered me on his late night show.
Okay.
From the radio stuff I'd done, he called the radio station and said, who did this sketch? And they said, you know, I was their first freelance writer they ever had.
Wow.
And he scooped me up. I knew nothing about TV.
Wow. Now, okay, so start first, because I'm on the radio, so I love radio. Mm-hmm. I love radio. So you're writing sketches for radio. How is that like? How is that different than writing sketches on television? Because you're not seeing it. It's all...
Exactly. Well, I used to listen to John Lennon and the House Party, and they did these funny sketches. And I've been a writer since I was a kid.
Wow, okay.
So I sort of instinctively knew that for the radio, I would have to create pictures in people's minds because you don't have the aid of television.
No.
You know, so I wrote a couple of sketches and faxed it to them.
Faxed it to them, oh my God.
Right. I'm dating myself.
Yeah, I was like, faxed it to them. Oh my God.
Yeah. And sent them on a carrier pigeon. So they called and they said, hey, we never hire outside writers, but this is funny. Do you want to write for freelance?
Wow.
So I was like, yeah, I made it. $50 a sketch. I was in there. I wrote sketches that were funny enough to make my mama mad at me. So I knew I was doing something right. And a month later, they called and said, hey, Keenan Ivory Wayans wants to talk to you. And I thought, okay, that's funny, right?
Right. You're like, okay, sure. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But he'd heard one of the sketches and had his show call to find out who wrote it. And it was the beginning of a whole lot of stuff.
Now, you know, back then, I mean, there was they were so big. I mean, In Living Color was big. They were sort of splintered off to the Wayans Brothers, had their own show.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was stuff happening. They were a big, influential,
huge,
black
talented
TV,
family.
Talented family.
Yeah.
So you're saying these on the phone, you're probably thinking, like, okay, sure, this must be a joke.
Oh, even when his executive producer called me, and I'm just a girl from Compton, I didn't know who an executive producer was. So, and it was this fast-talking lady, and she told me what they wanted. We want bumpers, we want monologue, and this one, that. So, okay, what's a bumper?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't know anything, but his show was starting that week. So,
wow.
Yeah, I watched it air.
Yeah.
And I kind of picked up his voice and his rhythm, and I wrote what I thought would be good with him.
Wow.
And, you know, I was familiar with In Living Color, of course.
Yeah,
so
of course,
my
yeah.
sketches, I kind of based on what kind of humor I thought he had. And then she called me in on a Saturday, and she put me in a room full of all guys. I was the only woman.
Wow.
And Keenan walked in, and I thought, I'm not supposed to be here.
They made a mistake.
I'm like, it's like... Okay, let me be straight, though. First thing I thought was, he is fine. Tall,
bald head, chocolatey.
I was like, I was like, I know I'm beat red. I was a fan of myself. And he sat down and he saw me and he got up and came back around and introduced himself and shake my hand. And I thought, it was the first celebrity, really, I'd ever met.
Okay, yeah, okay. And a gentleman. He was a gentleman.
A gentleman. All of them are.
Okay.
Greatest family in the world.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, I sat there, and the guys around the table started what I know now was pitching.
Got it. Okay. Yes.
And I realized I was going to have to do that to Mr. in Living Color, and I was like, that's not going to happen. I'm not there yet.
Yes, yes.
So I looked at my paper. I was like, oh, this is funny. And I slid it down the table to him, and every guy at the table just sucked in their breath like, oh, she is so not getting this job.
Oh, my God.
And he took it and took his time and read it. He said, you're right. That is funny. And he moved on to the next guy.
Wow.
And at the end of the meeting, he walked over to me. He said, welcome to the team, and shook my hand.
Oh, my God.
And then I sat down with the line producer, and he told me how much I was going to make, which was WGA minimum.
Okay.
But enough to blow somebody's mind who worked at Cal State Long Beach for 7 years.
Yeah.
It was more than what I made in a month.
Wow.
And I thought, well, he made a mistake, but I'm not going to be rude and correct him.
No, you know? Not at all. You've got to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he said it again, and I said, okay. So I left the meeting, and I called my parents, and I told them. And my mother said, Allison, what does he expect you to do for that kind of money? I said, Mama, let's be real. For that kind of money, ain't too much I won't do.
Hello. No. It's like, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and I had a desk and a computer after that. And,
yeah,
like, literally, they were the best people to get into business,
okay,
for me being such a newbie.
Yeah.
Because the Keenan and his family, they're very familial and clannish. And
okay,
when you're in, and they take care of you.
Yeah.
So it was great. It wasn't like, you know, 2 weeks later, my father called and said, your mother wants me to talk to you about drugs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why? She's like, well, you're in Hollywood now. I was like, Daddy, I grew up in Compton, like,
right,
during the crack era.
Hello, we know drugs.
Yeah.
I grew up in England, the crack era, but we know drugs.
Right.
I mean,
I'm like,
yeah,
I made it out of that. I think I'll be fine.
Yeah, in Hollywood.
So, but yeah, it was a good group of people, creative. Mm. I learned a lot from Keenan, mm, you know, because I didn't know what made me funny.
Oh, how funny. Okay.
You
okay
know, I was truly just being honest and saying what I felt and what I thought. And I always had stories in my head, you know, that kind of thing. So he just pointed out my strengths.
Very,
you know,
good.
Which was invaluable, you know,
well,
to
I'm
learn
sure
from somebody like that.
Yeah, he's basically helping you shape how you look at yourself and go, okay, yeah, that's really good. Go that direction. No, I don't know about that one. Or rethink this one. Like, I'm sure he's telling you all that stuff. And you're going, oh, so he's helping me see what is funny about me and my writing.
Yeah, and
that's
who's going to question the guy who discovered Jim Carrey.
Right. Hello.
You know?
Right. Hello.
Like, and,
right,
you know, his family alone are hilarious.
They
so
are.
I was very fortunate to start there.
I book some people. I book most of my guests myself. Some I could come to me. And when I announce it to people that I'm going to have this person, a certain guest on my show, you're one of the few people when I said you're going to be on my show, I got a lot of, that's a great get.
Oh, wow.
I want you to know that. People are just like, that's a good get.
Really?
Oh, she's good. That's a good get. And I was like, wow, okay. I'm like, this is great. I think she's a good get, too. But just so you know, it's nice to hear that. When some people like, they're like, wow, oh, I loved her when she did it. She wrote this or she did that. So I was getting lots of feedback from people.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you, people.
And there are folks who are watching right now. We have people who are watching the show right now. I think I'm glad you guys are watching live. And so I want to go back a little bit just to the radio for a second because, you know, I like radio. I grew up listening to radio, and sketches were like Rick D's in the Morning.
Yeah.
Which
yeah
is why growing up in the late 70s, early 80s, that was a big thing.
Right.
And I always just found it really fascinating because there is, and now I do radio myself, there is no visual prop.
No.
So you have to really be expressive, I guess, and you're writing, and you have to be really expressive in the joke. How do you do that without killing the joke or...
It's a different mindset. Like, if I had to go back to radio right now, I'd have to switch hats.
Interesting, okay.
And the comedy still comes in with the truth, but you have to be, every word counts because you're creating a picture.
Okay.
You know, I had a couple sketches that created a little controversy, the ones that made my mother mad, that were great. But it was just a matter of pushing it and going there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the subject matter. Where you can't see a pratfall, but you can talk edgy about a certain thing, you know, to suggest, and people see that in their head.
Mm,
you
yes
know,
it's
easy to plant that idea in somebody's head, and the timing.
Yeah.
You know, timing counts in radio just as much as it does on TV.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So, you know, you can't overplay it, But you have to be right there. You know, it has to be a rhythm. And I just automatically, like, radio came easy to me.
Okay.
Because I have such a vivid imagination.
Okay.
So I figured if I write these words and I can see it in my head,
okay,
other people can see it in theirs.
Yes.
And it seemed to work out for what we were doing.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you have a little cheat with sound effects. Yeah. You know, there was one with a mother and daughter walking along a beach, you know, so you get the sound of the ocean.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they were talking about a feminine product, you know, and then all of a sudden we have seagulls diving in, you know.
Yeah.
So you can cheat a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, right, all right.
Yeah.
But just different than visual props where you can actually say you can
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Tell
have
a vision.
Or like have a weird outfit on that helps, or weird hair.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just like.
A cheat.
I love morning radio. I do. I always have. Steve Harvey's funny. A lot of his stuff is really funny in the morning. I like morning radio. I think for me, it's a. My grandma listened to it. So I guess it's like a comfort zone thing for me. It's like comfort food. It's like I turn on in the morning. I'm like, oh, my brother's system. We like morning radio. We like that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, too, now that you mentioned that, when I was little, we used to go camping. And you couldn't have a TV out there.
Nope.
But we had a radio, and we used to listen to those stories on the radio.
There you go. Yes.
You know, where they had those guys come in and tell you a mystery or whatever.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I probably learned a lot from that. You know?
Because now it's podcasts to do that now.
Exactly.
It's just so
exactly.
funny. It's like the old radio, but now it's podcasts. Like Serial was one major one, and that's different
exactly.
ones. It's like kind of funny. We're going back to, it's cyclical. We're going back to it, but in a new platform.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And I think for me, that informed me in terms of how I think of things. I have a vivid imagination, too. So listening to a radio, I can fully go in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I tell people all the time. They're like, are you going to see a movie in 3D? I'm like, no, I have an imagination. Mm-hmm. I don't need stuff flying in my face to get the movie.
Right.
I get into it if it's a good story, you know?
And that's the thing, too, because I think we rely so much because we can do this, all the theatrics and all the things, 3D and 4D and IMAX.
Yeah.
So it's like, and some movies, I'm sure it's fine in that. But yeah, if it's a good story and it can sustain me for an hour and a half, I don't need anything special.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I did enjoy Avatar because it wasn't like stuff zooming in your face. It was kind of an atmospheric, like 3D.
Yes, I agree
so
with that.
So I enjoyed that.
For me, Star Wars, I've seen them in big things because this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
You get the whole surround thing. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like you say, you're a local girl, which, you know, a lot of people are like, you're from L.A.? I'm like, yeah, I'm from L.A. People don't believe we're from L.A. Some of us are from L.A.
Yeah.
Like, we are.
Some people are born here.
Right. And we've been to Hollywood before. Like, we just, it's like over there. It's like, maybe it's 12 miles that way or whatever. So.
Right.
But when you were in Compton and grew up, you said you were always in writing. Did you think this would be kind of a career you could possibly have? I mean,
no.
Yeah.
No. And I told people when I first started, nobody told me I could do this. Nobody came to my school and said, hey, you can write for TV. I just thought that was something white people did.
Yeah.
You know, I just, and you didn't really think about the writers in the room creating this stuff. It just kind of happened.
Right.
So I always said, every chance I get, I'll tell those kids that this could be them.
Yeah.
You know, and tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and Tuesday, I'm going back to the center in Compton to talk to some girls who are writing their own thing, like junior high school kids.
That's great.
You know, so Corinne Huggins over at William Packer's Company hooked me up with this because we talk about that kind of thing, you know, giving back and going back.
Yeah.
And when I'm free and when I can, I do it. Because why not? Nobody showed up and said, hey, you know what you could do with that essay, that A you got?
Right.
You know, you could one day. It was a secret. You know, it was a lot of nepotism. They didn't want to share.
No, I agree with that because there's a place called 824. I've never heard of them. They're an organization that helps kids like in the third and fourth grade.
Right. Oh, wow.
And there's one of the locations I go to is over in Eagle Rock. And they go over and they help the kids with their, they have them come in, they write stories, they talk about it, show them like what they can do with the story.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, writing. It's like, I've been a writer since I was a kid, too. I kept journals. I loved writing. It's like they don't talk about writing.
No. And it's so good to, you know, just encourage that imagination. Because anything is possible after that.
Yes.
If they believe they can do anything, then they can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just need that little push. Because there's so many things in this world telling you what you can't do and holding you back.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, and I think especially for women and girls, you know, regardless of race.
That's true.
You know, you're always told you're weaker than or you're not as smart as, you know, certain kind of things. And I think if we ever just unleash that power of who we really are, the world gonna be a whole different place.
They're scared already. And this is Black Hollywood Live. We can talk about it. They're scared already. But one of the things that I like about this, that writing for me especially, if I don't see it, I can be it. I can write it.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think opens up a whole world of stuff, television, movies, right. books, that, you know, we can start writing our own way into Hollywood, our own way onto Broadway, our own way. I mean, I think it's just so, we should tell people, write it. If you have so, you have this talent, write it.
Yeah. Well, even as a kid, I always thought I can go anywhere in my imagination. Mm-hmm. You know, me and my brother would lay in the grass and look at the clouds and play What If for hours.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I always, my parents encouraged us to read. You know, you can, was it George R.R. Martin said, a man who reads a book lives a thousand lives or something like that. And I always felt that way.
Yeah.
And then when I realized I could create it myself, I could create my own world, it felt like a superpower.
It's freeing, isn't it?
It is. It's very cathartic. It's wonderful. And, you know, my imagination, even when things don't work out well, I imagine a different outcome. You know, and you get into that practice and you start to look at things differently. You I think you become more grateful and you become more optimistic.
I agree with that. I have written things, different outcomes in my own life in a story, a short story here. And I've written the ending I wanted.
Yeah.
And it felt good.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not? Say the things you couldn't say to somebody on a sheet of paper and let it go. You know, imagine it. The best revenge is, you know, being able to write somebody into your stuff.
Yes.
Change the names, of
course. Of course,
but
okay, but of course.
You remember when such and such did what, and now you can make them pay.
Yeah, I love, I love that. So you went from that, and so you started working with Wanda Sykes, and that's one person I really want to talk about, because well, Wanda Sykes and Chris Rock, but Wanda Sykes especially, because she's another woman in the business. She's a trailblazer. And so how was your time with her?
I love Wanda to death. I love her to death. She, to this day, is one of my best friends. We met on Kenan's late night show.
Okay.
And I can remember she came on board and Kenan told me, okay, you're in charge of showing her around.
Okay.
Now, we did a nightly show 5 nights a week. She came from Chris. We did an hour 5 nights a week.
Yes.
She came from Chris doing a half hour once a week.
Right.
So I took her through the day.
Wow.
And by the end of the day, she was on the phone. I was like, who are you calling? She was like, my agent, to get me the hell out of here. And I was like, oh, come on. And then we started talking. And I think she mentioned Octavia Butler. And I was like, whoa, you read Octavia Butler? And from then on, we were like best friends, because it's our favorite author.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, I'll stay, but we had to start drinking. So and there's nobody funnier to me. Wanda's
she's
the
hilarious.
Funniest person
hilarious.
I know in my life. She kills me. But so we would go out after work, we would drink, and mind you, we were supposed to have pitches the next day.
Okay.
You don't actually get a chance to think about your pitches if you go straight to the bar.
No, you don't. Not really.
So we would be pitching off of a blank page, just like pulling stuff out our butt, like, you know, and then such and such. And Ken go, I like that one. Write that one up. Remember what I said? That kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, it made it more fun, because before Wanda got there, I was just seriously a workhorse.
Wow.
This was trial by fire to me. I had never been in the business, didn't know what it was about. Before she got there, like, I had just been there a couple weeks, and my friend Michael Anthony pulled me aside. Said, look, Kenan likes you, but if you don't jump in there, he'll fire you, because he fires people. I was like, that's all you had to say. So our very next meeting, I went in and we were talking about dating and stuff like that, and Kenan said that he had this issue that he would meet a girl and all of a sudden she'd become a born again Christian. So, can I curse on this show?
Yeah, you're a girl.
Okay.
So he said,
you know, they would all become born again Christians and, you know, be all buttoned up and everything. I said, shit, I'd have fucked you like I was on an audition. And he looked at me he laughed, and from then on we were cool.
You know,
it was
funny.
Like, I just had to get past the celebrity thing and get to the comedy of it. And so that was one breakthrough. And then when Wanda showed up and her freedom and her comedy, she's the same person on stage as she is in real life. You know, she just lived boldly, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna do that. Yeah. You know, not to copy her, but speak your mind and just go for it.
Right.
You know, and follow through. So we became really tight on that, and then later she got her show Wanda at Large.
Yeah. I remember that. I liked it. So.
Yeah. So she called me to do that. Yeah. And like I said, in between that, we just clicked, and we've been clicking. You know,
which I have a lot of female friends in the business, and I love when I hear that women can work together.
Oh yeah.
Let's say that over and over again. Women can work together.
Can and will, and do a damn good job.
Right.
Let me tell you, the last show, well, the only show that I ran, Born Again Virgin.
Yes.
We were writing for black women, so I told TV One, I said, you know what? I'm only going to hire black women.
Good. Wow, good.
So my writer's room was all black women.
Wow.
We had a ball.
Wow.
We had a ball. There was no Real Housewives from
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No Basketball Wives,
yeah,
L.A., San Antonio, whatever. Yes, yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
We just went for it, you know? And I've seen more than not women being able to work together, you know, very easily.
I want to promote that. You guys.
Yes.
Like, women can work together. Because you guys were all, and they're laughing online. They're like, oh my God. Because women can, you guys want to put a product that's good. That's the bottom line, right?
Yeah. And look, we want our original voices. We don't want a man writing for us and putting on a shirt that's too tight and raising our boobs.
Right.
And just being the backdrop for his jokes.
Right.
You know, because women are funny too. So it's like, be right in there. Spar with them.
Yes.
It's not fun if the wife or girlfriend is just that.
Right.
You know, make them real people. Mm-hmm. And luckily, a lot of the rooms I've been in have asked, you know, well, how would she feel about that? And then I go, well, I'm here to write for the men, too. I'm here to write for people.
Right, people.
But I like the fact that on a couple of jobs, I was hired because they wanted the woman to have a strong voice.
Right, they fostered. Yes, we can, Marissa. Yes, we can.
That's perfect.
But no, I mean, that's the point. At least that they're fostering in the writer's room that it's okay to say, okay, well, how would she react to this?
Yeah.
And get your true opinion to write and make this
Oh, trust me. They're going to get my true opinion regardless.
I love
it
that.
It depends. I don't care what room I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been in a room where it wasn't as welcome.
Wow.
You know, but maybe they like my credits or somebody recommended me or whatever. So, you know, they get to a point and I go, hold the fuck up.
Yes. Right.
You know, if you do that, she's stupid.
Right.
You know, why can't she come from a place of such and such and such? So, you know, there are times where you have to be more assertive and stand up for the woman on page, you know, because especially, you know, you're working with an actor that you probably really like.
Right.
You know, and you want her to be represented.
Yes.
You don't want her just to be like, it's okay, honey.
Right.
Sometimes it's not okay, honey, and you need to fix this shit. You know, so.
I love that. Yes.
People who hire me now know who they're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, and I love seeing other. I've been where I've been the only woman in the room.
Wow.
And when there's a few more women, Janice Hirsch, we've worked together a lot. You know, I love her to death. We've always worked together really well. I just did a BET show for Cedric.
Oh, yeah, okay,
and, yeah, that whole group, the Get Down Comedy Tour.
Okay, Get Down,
with two great guys, Brad and Tom.
Yeah.
And we had some women, two other women in the room, not counting the writer's assistant, but great ladies that I'd never met before, and we instantly kind of formed a kinship.
Yeah.
You know, one of the ladies had a little less experience, so she was grateful for it. And we bonded, you know, to the point where they'd say something stupid and man-like, and we'd just give each other looks like, oh,
funny,
here we go again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot of that when women are in the room.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, it's good to have some backup. And these guys were open to it, so it's great.
You are part of a franchise that, to me, is groundbreaking because at the time, there wasn't any, I mean, the Zucker brothers, of course, started the whole airplanes and all the police squad and all that stuff. But, like, you came out with the Scary, your part of the Scary Movie franchise, the first couple of movies, right?
Yeah, I worked with Kenan and a group of writers to do that.
So I'm saying it's like, back then, there were no other spoof movies with blacks, really.
Yeah, exactly. It broke records.
It did. So I just want to give you congratulations on that, because that's something that was, you were part of something groundbreaking.
Yeah, it was fantastic. The funny thing is, before I was in the business, and I used to see those movies, airplanes and things, I used to think, that is so dumb. Like, it's just silly. I didn't really get it. And all my friends would just be laughing. I'm like, because you're all high. Like, it's stupid. Yeah, and then I got to appreciate it more. Yeah. So when Kenan called and said we were going to do Scary Movie, a spoof on that, a parody, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And again, him taking the lead, we definitely learned the difference between comedy and parody. And there's so many people who don't understand that fine line.
Yes,
right. You know, and there are things that are already so ridiculous that you can't parody.
Right.
But if you can find the, the routines or mm-hmm. the generalities and mm-hmm. the stereotypes and everything in those movies, then they become easier to parody. You know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And it, again, working with him on those two movies was like class.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not easy to write a parody, I'm sure.
No,
it's actually smart, if you're smarter, to write a parody.
Yeah, definitely smarter. You know, you take the simplest story and hang the biggest jokes on them, but they have to be the right jokes.
Right.
And they have to be in a certain genre. You know, we were doing horror.
Yes.
So there's a certain genre where you have to, you know, you have to parody the girl who runs upstairs.
Yes.
You know, you have all those certain things. You have to parody it. And again, that was another fun project.
Yeah.
And something I learned more on. And we just, you know, we had a lot of good times doing that.
But you also did the sequels to Bring It On.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved with that? How did you give you the sequels? Like, there's a big, we had the big one there, and I was going to give you the sequels to do it. You work with Solange and Hand Pantier and all those people. How did you get the sequels?
I wrote a spec movie about two 40-year-old guys who were divorced trying to raise their kids. And so they thought rap music was ridiculous and they could become rappers. And through this deal that they didn't know about, basically a music company used them because they wanted to promote some other stuff. So,
okay.
I didn't sell it. And it was spec material, but somebody, my agent, sent it over to Universal. They read it and loved it. And called me in to pitch on Bring It On. It's like, well, I'm not a cheerleader, but okay. I played sports, you know. Played sports. My daughter played sports. So I got a pitch together. And right before I walked in the room, Patty, I love her to death. Still have a great relationship with her. She said, now listen, they never laugh, but don't worry about that.
Okay.
I'm like, I do comedy. That's not the best thing to hear.
That's why they don't ever laugh. Right.
So I walk in this room. Big round table again, all white people.
Wow.
Sitting there looking at me, and I thought, okay, this is going to suck. And I had my pitch all written out, and I told him, I said, look, my memory's bad. I don't remember, so I'm going to read, because I suck at pitching.
Okay.
You know. And so I started the pitch, and within 3 minutes, probably not even that long, I got a laugh. I got you now. So after that, I just said, fuck it, and went for it. You know, and I finished, and, you know, they laughed and they clapped, and the president, Glenn at the time, is probably still there. He said, let me tell you one thing. Don't ever tell anybody you can't pitch anymore. He said, because that was a great pitch. You had everything we needed to hear.
Wow.
So I was like, okay. So, and that day I learned to say, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, if it's funny to me, which is usually what you're bringing in the room.
Right.
You just have to commit and go for it.
Right.
You know, and.
Well, I tell people all the time is that whole thing of, well, if it doesn't work, well, what if it does?
What if it does?
What if it does?
If nobody ever hears it, you'll never know.
Exactly.
You know, and I was talking to a writer this weekend, and she was like, you know, I'm tired of asking people to come on board. Since you're not asking them, they're looking for product. Mm-hmm. You're pitching your best product to them. Mm-hmm. They need you.
Right.
You know, so look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put the bait out there. See who bites.
And see who bites. And somebody may not bite, but then somebody, you said, you were part of that classic thing of you put something out there, that doesn't hit, but the right eye saw it and leads you here.
Exactly. The funniest thing to me, Chris Rock said on his TV show, and there's been a lot, but he told this joke, and the audience didn't laugh. They kind of groaned.
Yeah.
And he said, fuck y'all, that's funny. I thought that was perfect.
Yes.
I thought that was perfect because he's saying, you know, it's funny. I know the math. This is funny.
Right.
You know, whether you get it or not. And he stood behind it. I loved it.
Yeah.
You know.
I just, you know, comedy is a thing that, you know, I think you obviously you inherently have it. We were going back and forth on messaging on Twitter, and she made me laugh. Just a regular conversation. And I feel like you can't really, can you teach it really? Or no, I mean, isn't it probably just part of who you are? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think most everyone I know that's funny, genuinely funny, it's a part of who they are.
Yeah.
It's in the chemistry of it. And, you know, I was raised with a bunch of my father and uncles were hilarious.
Yeah.
And instead of going in the other room, I'd sit around and listen to them tell stories and, you know, do that kind of thing. I don't know if anybody can teach you to be funny. I think maybe you can be taught to write in a comedic
tone. Okay.
Because the thing about it is, if there's a room of writers, there's always going to be somebody there to punch it up, to make it funny.
Okay.
But, a big part of me wants to say no, because there's so much about timing.
Yeah.
And knowing what's funny and not overdoing it, you know. If you got to hear, unless it's that kind of show, if you hear the then it might be too much. It's all about tone and character and stuff like that.
I heard, there was a thing I read years ago that Isabel Sanford, mm-hmm. was considered, and just a scientific study about comedians, that her comedic timing was the same as Lucille Ball's.
Wow.
You know, their styles were very different, but they're doing timing. And they're saying that, they said, watch Jefferson's. She's around, she's the straight person.
Yeah.
Around Marla Gibbs and Sherman Hemsley and all those. She's the straight woman.
Right.
But it's like she would say something, and it almost was the ba-dum bump, but it wasn't. They were saying that she, I started looking at her performance differently.
Well, you know what she did, too. If you think about it, yeah, she was a straight person. But she committed all the way through. She didn't just say it, and then she was out of it. Mm-hmm. She said it and committed and looked at you and waited for the...
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Put you on the spot.
Yes.
That can be just as funny as the guy, as Willona delivering the joke.
Yes.
You know, so you have to have that strong support. And
yeah,
I think, great straight person is just magic.
Well, I look at Bea Arthur, who could give you a look, both as Maude and Golden Girls.
Yeah.
She'd give you a look, and that was funny enough.
Yeah.
Everybody else did the punchline jokes, and she'd just give you a look, and you're like, okay, I'm done. I'm laughing so hard I can't hold it anymore.
Yeah. Well, you look at Carmichael right now.
Yes.
Carmichael's a funny guy. Jared's a funny guy.
Yeah.
But all he has to do is set up the parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David and...
I've got her name.
Oh.
I forgot the name.
Loretta. Loretta Devine.
Devine, yes.
All he has to do is set them up and they just go.
Exactly.
And it's like magic.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing you want. So as funny as he is, he's smart enough to go... Here you go.
Yes.
Ta-da.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, have you ever thought about doing dramas at all?
I wrote a drama spec once.
Okay.
I met David E. Kelly once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, through a friend. I got to work on a pilot.
Okay.
The Robin Williams pilot that was on CBS.
Oh, yeah.
So he created that.
Yeah.
And he has always been one of my idols.
Yeah. Great, you know? Right. I mean, great stuff.
Like, yeah. Wow. And I told him, I said, if I ever had to do drama, I'd do it in the way he did. Because there was always a lighter tone.
Yes, that's right.
There was somebody who was a little bit off.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Ally McBeal, there's a dancing baby. Come on.
I love that show so much. I love Ally McBeal so much, yes.
You know, he might be the original inventor of dramedy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
They, going all the way back to Twin Peaks. But
yeah, Twin Peaks is good too, yeah.
If I had to do an hour, and I'm not opposed to it, it would have to have some sort of comedic element, you know, some levity to it. You know, there was a show on HBO where the woman had cancer. That's not my show.
Big C. I love the Big C with Laura Linney.
Yeah,
I love
it was
show.
Fun,
yes.
But,
yeah.
You know, there are some shows where I go, how are you not crying every week?
Yeah, there is that, yes. I love Ally McBeal. She's like,
you know, This Is Us. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
But I would be worthless now because I'd be just a big ball of tears.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So I have to have something that has that sort of levity and some sort of relief to it.
Yeah.
But heart, I can do that all day.
Besides, I just feel like why a lot of comedians do great drama work, I feel like you probably have both sides. I feel like it would be different the other way around. If you're so dramatic, you can't always do comedy, I don't think.
And I think it's because comics open themselves up to vulnerabilities.
Yes.
You know, they talk about their pain. They share their pain on stage.
They do.
So by the time you get to a movie, they've already been exposed. Yeah. They're used to doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and the best have gone on to dramas yeah. and stuff like that.
Well, you know, I'm a big Richard Pryor fan. And it's funny because he would tell you something about his life that was completely effed up.
Yeah.
But you're laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the same time.
And exactly.
He's being truthful and being vulnerable and honest. And you're just like, did he just say that? Like,
you're laughing at his pain.
You're
yeah.
laughing at his pain.
And set himself on fire. And
yeah, exactly. He talks about that. Remember yeah. when he's live at Sunset Strip? That whole, I mean, the second night, the first night he hated it, and the second night he came yeah. back. And it's like, you're like, oh my God, he's being super vulnerable, talking about stuff that I wouldn't talk about. But he's inviting you to laugh with him at it.
The vulnerability allows you to laugh with him
mm-hmm.
and not at him.
Yeah.
He's not being a clown. He's not being a court jester. Mm-hmm. He's sharing. Mm-hmm. And as serious as it is, he's allowing you to laugh because, you know, if it's funny to him, yeah. it's okay. He's giving you permission.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah.
I just like a lot of stuff. Okay, so one of the things we talk about on the show, of course, I don't prep them at all beforehand. I ask the same two questions to all my guests. And because you're a writer, so this will be great. We'll see what she comes up with. She's a wordsmith.
Oh, boy.
I believe in language. I believe in language. That's actually not my sentence. I believe in language can propel us forward or hold us back. And I want to ask you, what word in English language we should not say anymore? Or take out of our vocabularies?
Can't.
I like that.
Can't. That's what my mother always taught me. Never say can't.
It's a useless word, isn't it?
It's a useless word. How do you know if you haven't tried yet?
Hello.
Because it's one of the first things people say, I can't do it.
I can't do that.
How do you know? You're right. Just sitting here. We're having a conversation. You haven't even tried. You didn't even get up. You know? How do you know you can't find your keys? How do you know you can't take that class? You know?
That's very true. That's very true. On the converse of that, what word you think we should say more of?
Love.
Love. It's such an underrated word, isn't it, these
love.
Days?
It is. And I think it's misused. I think we should use it more, but I think we should mean it. You know, because my parents started us in church, you know, and I didn't stay, but, you know, I got the core of it.
Yeah.
And the first one is, you know, God is love.
Yeah.
You know, and it says that, you know, in your actions, you know, not to get preachy, but if you're doing something that's out of love,
mm-hmm.
then you need to get back to center.
Yes, back to center. I'm all about that.
And I'm not talking about saying love just to get somebody in bed. I'm
just
love it and mean it. And not just the people. Mm-hmm. Love what you're doing.
Yes.
You know, love your plans. Love mm-hmm. your dreams.
Love your home.
You know? Yeah, love
your yard.
You know?
I mean, no, seriously. People who don't take care of their homes and stuff.
Exactly.
Like, love where you live.
Exactly.
Love your space.
Exactly.
Make it the way you want it to make it so you go home. It's your sanctuary.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
More appreciation.
Right.
Yeah.
I could talk to you forever. It's not fair. The show is over. It's not fair. You have to come back. You have to come back.
Okay.
You have to come back.
You're close. I'll come back.
See, I'm close. That's good. That's good. I'm nearby. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you.
I really appreciate it. And that camera there, tell me where they can find you on social media.
It's my name on Twitter at Allison Faust, Alyson, F as in Frank, Ouse. On Instagram at Allison Faust. You can IMDb me.
You can.
That's basically it.
Perfect. And you can follow us on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, under Breaking Into, under Black Hollywood Live. Go there. This interview will be on there. Also, our Facebook page, Breaking Into. Go ahead and like it. This interview will be there also. And anything else that's coming up with her, I'll be posting on that page so you can kind of follow what's going on there. And you can follow me at James Lott Jr. All James Lott Jr.'s are sold. Well, maybe not sold anymore. But anyway, you can follow me everywhere there. And I'll see you guys next time. Thank you very much.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.